Food on breakfast. Breakfast. Food. It's breakfast food with Delaney Mears.
Delaney, hi.
Hi.
Not long till you head off abroad.
I know.
It means we lose you forever.
The countdown.
Unless,
on.
Of course, we somehow get you to commit to a weekly phone-in from Melbourne.
Yeah, well, hey.
Stranger talking things about how great it is over there.
Stranger things have happened.
How are you, Delaney?
What's
happening?
Really well.
What's happening? What's on the plate today?
Freezing. It's cold.
What's on the plate? What's in the oven? What's in the fridge?
What's in the oven? What's in the fridge? Well, let me tell you.
Creme brulee.
That's on the menu.
I'm saving that for my finale. The creme brulee.
I love you,
rice pudding last night though. I did too much rice and not enough milk, so don't be like me, people out there. But
rice puddings, it's like a
it's like a baked.
It's the first time it's going to creme brulee, isn't it, really, in a roundabout way. You do 7 or 8 years of intensive rice puddings, then maybe you earn yourself a position on the creme brulee creation team. Perhaps.
Well, my sister and I, she came over for dinner and we were eating the rice pudding and I was like,
That you put too much milk in.
Too much rice.
Too much rice.
I was like, it's a lot of rice just before bedtime.
What are we talking about? Midnight, something.
No.
She just came over for the rice pudding.
No, she came over for dinner and and had some rice pudding.
Rice is a breakfast, lunch, dinner, midnight snack kind of thing.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
It's sort of like, baked custody. But what I really wanted to talk about was wintery drinks.
Wintery drinks.
Because,
let me guess, gin?
What?
Gin? Hot toddies?
Yeah, gin. Hot toddies.
Hot toddy mulled.
Well,
let me get you a mulled wine.
Yeah, I mean, I bloody love mulled wine.
That maybe a glass of it once or twice ever.
Mm,
I mean, something, get on the mulled wine, say, a preload on the mulled wines.
You can totally get on the mulled wines, especially if it's freezing. Yes, because it turns like...
You're going to sit there and do craft all night or something?
Well...
Talk about skiing.
It's a really delicious way to drink shit red wine, basically.
Oh, yeah.
So you get a cask.
Might as well drink it, eh?
Get a cask, add some clove-studded oranges and a cinnamon stick.
See, it's interesting, though, but you're not saying, look, you can strain meth through a loaf of bread. Why would you want to drink shit red wine?
And a little bit
you
of...
You just promote the industry. You just promote your...
No, like I said, one mug drunk in responsibly.
Mug? Yeah. A mug?
Yeah.
Don't you have mulled wine in a glass? Isn't wine a sophisticated drink for adults?
You have it in a glass, but you could also have it in a mug, that keeps your fingers warm as you sit around the fire.
How do you garnish a mulled wine?
So you put in the actual pot.
Hold on a second.
A clove.
How do you garnish a mulled wine? Coming up on Beef and Breakfast.
A clove-studded orange.
But, like a little hedgehog, pineapple hedgehog
thing. Yes. And if you wanted to garnish it, you could garnish it with a cinnamon stick and a slice of orange peel if you wanted to be fancy. The recipe also has a little bit of brown sugar and a bit of brandy.
Yeah, my advice is, as far as brown sugar, not a little bit. Have quite a bit.
I mean, like I always say with my recipes, taste and adjust to your own. Taste and adjust.
Measure the medicine to the man.
And adjust. So once I knew that my mum used to make it, and there was brandy in the recipe, and I accidentally, the first time I made it, put in half a bottle.
Did you accidentally do that?
I don't know.
I accidentally took the whole thing in.
Yeah. And then I looked, and I did get really smashed. And then afterwards I was like, it's only two tablespoons of brandy. So just a little bit of brandy.
Pay attention, Delaney, I said to myself.
A generous glug of brandy. Mulled wine is delicious, and that's all there is to say on the
matter. Okay, I'm sorry I dismissed your mulled wine fancies
fine.
And seem like here in the old days, you used to get a restaurant about Hogan's, would you like a special coffee?
Used to get a nice mulled wine was at Golden Dawn, RIP.
That's true.
That's the sort of place that mulled wine would work.
Yeah.
And good indoor-outdoor flow, a little bit creepy and weird, a little bit exciting and colourful.
A creative
hub.
Coco's Cantina had mulled cider on their bar the other day. I was like, can I sniff it?
Freaky chaos is that?
Yeah.
Can I sniff it?
Yeah. I was like, I'm not sure.
It's a food critic. I suppose you can get away with that. I was going to rock into a restaurant. Can I go and just pop out the back and sniff a few things?
It's just sitting right there, and I was trying to get a bit of get a whiff. Anyway.
Just sniff on it. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to smell it for free.
But what got me thinking about winter drinks was winter. Yes, this cold snap we're currently experiencing. But I love coffee, but I don't drink it after midday. And so sometimes you want to
warm. Keep you up all night, does it?
Yeah, well, I just try to limit my intake, you know?
Yeah, especially when you need to save some space for the rice pudding.
Yeah, obviously. But how good is a hot chocolate when it's cold? So many places are serving up terrible hot chocolates.
They've got... what's that? Is that people... Because people that realise, A, they make more money on coffee and...
Do they, though?
A lot of money on coffee.
I don't know.
Coffee's a good earn.
I reckon they'd make more money...
Shout out to our good friends at Carajoles too, by the way.
I reckon they'd make more money on a scoop of chocolate powder and some milk. It didn't have to travel halfway. Did it? Maybe it did. Well, yeah. A few years ago, it was quite trendy in like late 90s, early 2000s cafes to put a whole Whittaker's Santee bar in the frothy milk.
Yeah, and then everyone's teeth fell out, and then so, yeah.
And so some places are still doing that, but when...
Santee bars, yummy, yeah.
When I went to the other day, they had that really disgustingly sweet chocolate syrup and the milk and the Santee bar, and I was just like...
Still had it though, eh?
Yeah, but it was too sweet, too yeah. much.
Noted, eh? Noted.
But I hear that Welcome Eatery up on...
It's a nice name for an eatery.
Yeah, just off Khyber Pass. It's a really lovely cafe. It's only open Monday to Friday. They make homemade beetroot marshmallows, and they serve them, I think.
Hang on, what?
They make their own marshmallow.
It's gone too far.
Has it?
Beetroot. Gone too far.
No, beetroot, that sounds yummy.
What?
I'm a massive fan of beetroot.
And I'm pretty sure they serve it on a stick, and then you stir it through. You stir the marshmallow through the hot chocolate.
What's the beetroot part of it?
Sort of making the marshmallow slightly pink and probably a little bit sweet.
So just for the sake of colouring as opposed to like...
Maybe both.
Okay.
Good veggies
sort
of thing. So you've had like a...
Good
five
veggies.
5+ a day.
Yeah,
totally.
Some potatoes and heaps of that beetroot marshmallow.
Delicious. another popular one, turmeric lattes. I think they can jog on. I think they taste like more milky curry. But
do you like a chai?
Again... Too sweet a lot of the time, I think.
I agree with you.
You know, these yummy turmeric lattes, I got a bit of beef with them because they're that's kind of like a drink that you make when you're Indian and you're sick and you want to like soothe your throat. So you just get a bunch of hot milk and a lot of turmeric. Just mix that shit.
Quite yummy,
through,
though.
Spice it up. No, calling it a latte. It's not a fucking latte.
You mean,
like
you mean
for those of us. Make a silver fern on it. It's a latte.
A kiwi on the top.
Latte for Jan.
Matcha is another one. Again, make it into a latte.
What about? I'd like to go back to this turmeric latte.
See, I have qualms about that, but then I'll gentrify matcha. Go for it.
I love matcha. The turmeric latte. I mean, for those people who aren't who haven't grown up in the wonderful world of Indian cuisine, it's quite an exciting taste.
It is an exciting taste.
Yeah, it suggests that you've maybe stepped out of your comfort zone.
Turmeric is to Indian people what apple cider vinegar is to non-Indian people.
Turmeric's the shit, man.
It is the shit. It's the shit internally, and it's the shit that you apply. Yeah. It just fixes everything. Mm. Tell Ange.
Okay, all right. She knows. She put me onto that, actually. And I'll tell you what, way before Richard McCaw and his wife did.
And, yep. I've got some in there. I keep it in the freezer, the root, the fresh root, and then take it out as needed. Put it in my soups, put it in my stocks. Mm. It's good.
Is it better from just, how do you prepare it from the root? Just shave it up like ginger or what do you?
Yep.
Crush it up, dry it, crush it. What are we talking here?
Well, you can buy it in a powdered form, but I'm pretty sure that has no nutritional value. Is that correct, Joe Guy?
What are you talking about?
Turmeric.
I forgot if we were talking about the beetroot.
Your chosen topic.
Yeah, I believe so.
So the you can buy it fresh in root form. It looks a little bit like ginger, but it's smaller and bright orange.
No, I don't know what I'm talking about, actually. I don't think I've ever even seen it in root form. We only even had it like, in the powdered form.
I know. Are you actually even in the information? I loved. I loved in India. I was going to these shops that just sold massive walls and walls and walls of different powders. Yeah. And it was weird, just these spice crazy weird powders. And then, and of course, because you're a tourist, the guys keep saying to me, oh, this one, Indian Viagra. It's like, no, just something that tastes good.
Good. Well, I'm yet to have a good turmeric latte. Last year when
Big call.
Last year when I got sick, I ordered two.
Two.
You know, I was making lemon honey and ginger at home.
Oh, you're feeling pretty cavalier.
Splash of whiskey,
two, yeah.
Splash of manuka honey.
Jesus Christ.
No, but I ordered one from one cafe and I was like, this tastes like warm, gross curry in milk form. And then I had another which was sort of slightly better, but on the whole, I think that places are too careless with their non-coffee drinks, I think is what I'm really... the crux of it.
I think it's good that you brought hot this chocolates. To the brought this to the table, Delaney.
I'm gonna
come in from another completely different part of cuisine now.
Put on the spot.
Okay, my girlfriend's trying to get me to watch this thing on YouTube, basically how jubes are made.
The lolly.
The gelatin jubes. Mm. Yeah. And she said, it's gonna stop you eating them. And I was like, I don't want to do that, so I'm not gonna watch it. But someone's just texted in here saying, are there any non-hoof marshmallows? Can't do anything with gelatin since I found out it was made with hooves. Hooves. Animals' hooves.
I'm pretty sure you can get non-gelatin marshmallows.
Yes. Yeah, and you can get like non-hoof gelatin.
Yep.
Non-hoof sweets.
Yeah.
It's a good company name.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah,
Old mate, sorry.
I'm actually just Googling it. I'm pretty sure you can.
Hooves and gristle, someone's texted in.
Ooh.
Hooves and gristle. There. Takes the sweet tang out of your mulled wine conversation, doesn't it? Hooves and gristle.
I agree with you that cafes don't pay enough attention to non-coffee drinks. I reckon they go too hard on the milk.
Yep, definitely.
Just with like hot chockies,
yep.
Everything.
Fluffies.
It's just like I think it's just a lack of care. It's just like, oh yeah, we do coffee and oh yeah, we also just sort of,
do some other shit.
For $4.50, throw some cocoa powder in a cup and put lukewarm milk on top of it and call it a hot chocolate.
And laugh when spoon. We go back into the kitchen at you, mm. Find the money.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you, sorry, you're going to say, go ahead, please. You looked at you gave that up.
Just Googling while on radio, you can get vegan marshmallow. So yes, you can get hoof free marshmallows.
Hoof, there it isn't. Yep.
And I think there's probably some gelatin. There'll be lots of gelatin alternatives out there that don't contain hooves or gristle.
Hooves and gristle. Hooves and gristle.
The other thing,
oof, there it is.
The other thing that has caught my attention this week in the food world,
yes,
is it's Samoan Language Week, and as a result, there have been some really great Samoan recipes floating around online.
What's your favourite? What's your pick?
Pani popo, coconut buns.
I knew
buns.
You were going to say that. I knew it.
Coconut buns.
I tweeted Rose Matafeo made them,
yes,
the other day, and I was like, oh, I was going to make them, and then she made them, and they look, they're just, you know.
She bun blocked you.
She totally bun blocked me. Damn you, Rose. They are like a luscious, soft white bun with this sticky, sweet coconut sauce.
I'm just down with coconut anything.
Yeah.
To be honest, eh?
Tree of life.
Tree of life. I knew that in the World War II in the tropics, when they used to run out of blood products, plasma, they still use coconut water.
Really?
That's pretty full on, eh, man? Like intravenously.
Wow. See, some coconut waters on the market now are good, and some taste like someone gargled it and then spat it in your mouth. They really have the potential to taste disgusting.
Like up and go or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just foul, sticky, phlegmy shit.
But I think, people are cottoning on to... I mean, coconut, I feel like, boomed a few years ago. It was just like...
So awesome, though. So awesome.
It is awesome.
And it stole a lot of the thunder from that pretend aloe vera, that sort of like gluggy...
Yeah.
Pretend they're tadpoles.
Yes. I know exactly what you mean. Like that sort of slightly gelatinous kind of, shambles. But coconut milk, it's great for, I think someone a few weeks ago asked about winter vegetarian recipes. And having a can of coconut milk in your cupboard, you've got, really easy dinners, coconut curry.
Can of co-mill in the cub. Yep.
Co-mill in the cub.
Delaney, I'm going to have to stop you there because your segment has gone well over time.
Oh,
but
sorry.
I would like to read out this text message we've received before you go. From a listener. And it reads as follows. Please tell Delaney not to go. Even though I don't eat food, this is one of my favourite segments on BFM.
Oh, bless you, listener.
Bless you, Delaney Mess.
Nom 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 nom. That was Breakfast Food with Delaney Mears.
When are you going to go?